friendship.
Good morning.
Lord, we thank you, Lord God.
Hallelujah.
We thank you for laughter this morning, God.
Hallelujah.
We thank you for a joyous spirit, Lord God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We invite you wherever you are to join us. To participate this morning in praise and worship.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Wherever you are, put your hands together. Cry out before him.
Yeah.
Magnify him. Whatever you need to do. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
Arise. Arise, O God.
Mercy.
Your mercy. don't give up on God.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Don't give up on God, cause He won't give up on you.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
He's able.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord God.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Lord God.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah, Lord God. I'm grateful, Lord God, that you're able. Hallelujah, Lord God. Reassure you come. Hallelujah, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, we bless you right now, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your presence, Lord Jesus.
Thank you.
We're so grateful that you're so good to us, Lord. As the song said earlier, you're better to us than we've been to ourselves. You've been a keeper. You've been a provider. You've been a healer. I'm so grateful, Lord, just to be here right now. You've been a comforter. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
For all of the things you've done, you've done for me. You
you've been that good
to me.
Say faithful to you.
Songwriter and the singers, that we are grateful, glory to God. Not only are we grateful, but we are so grateful, hallelujah, Jesus. So, Lord, we honor you for your goodness, for your loving kindness, for your tender mercies toward those of us that believe in you, glory to God. For Lord, your word declares that your loving kindness, that your tender mercies are better than life to us, glory to God. We thank you for this worship experience. We thank you that we've been able to minister to you through song, glory to God. And we thank you that you've ministered back to us by way of the precious, powerful Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you for this segment of the worship experience where your word is preached, where your word is taught, glory to God. Father God, we thank you that as we stand to say what thus said you from your word, that you do have mercy upon us. Holy Spirit, we ask you now that you will go before the word. We thank you that you will go before the word, that you do quicken us in our innermost being so that we can spiritually discern and receive with meekness everything that the word is saying to us today. Holy Spirit, I thank you that as I stand, that you do stand up in my body, that you do think with my mind, that you do speak through me, that you flow through me to say and do everything that Abba, our Father, and Jesus, our Lord and King, desires for you to say through me in this place today. Father, we thank you that no satanic hindrance shall hinder the free flow of your word in this place, glory to God. We thank you that your word has free course in this place, and we thank you that we are blessed, hallelujah, or blessed, that is, we are empowered to prosper your way as we receive the word today on good ground, that good ground being our hearts, glory to God. Father God, we thank you today that the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart are acceptable in your sight. Lord, you are our strength and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we do pray, and all who agree with that prayer said, amen. Wherever you are this morning, come on, let's give God praise. Hallelujah. Somebody said he's truly worthy of our worship, glory to God. He's worthy to be exalted. He's worthy to be lifted up. Hallelujah. He's worthy to be praised. Somebody say amen. And we agree with you. We do thank God for forgiving us of all of our sins. Somebody say amen. All of our transgressions, all of our iniquities. In Jesus' name. Good morning to Friendship. Good morning to our Facebook audience, our Twitter audience, and everyone else, wherever you are, that's joining us by way of social media. Somebody say amen. And we say good morning to all of our family and friends who's joining us by way of teleconferencing this morning. Amen. It's just good to be here. Somebody say amen. It's good to be in this land where we're living and we're transitioning from one life to another. Somebody say amen. We bless God for both life and eternal life. Somebody say amen. We're in week number four. Somebody say four. Of our teachings entitled Life, or the God kind of life, or life from God's perspective for the believer in Christ. Amen. Last week we finished our lessons, or we gave more clarity to the lessons concerning us being totally forgiven of our sins in Christ Jesus, or you might want to say through Christ Jesus, our Lord. I like in because in indicates in opposed to being out. Somebody say amen. So I thank him for Thank God for forgiving me of all my sins, past, present, and future, by the blood of Jesus, in Christ Jesus. Amen. So last week we finished that, and this week we're still in our teachings on the God kind of life. We want to talk about the God kind of life. Somebody say the God kind of life. The God kind of life for believers, or for the believer in Christ, consists of walking in light opposed to walking in darkness. Amen. The God kind of life, as it relates to the believer, not the non-believer, because the non-believer is in total darkness. Somebody say amen. But the God kind of life for the believer in Christ consists of us walking in light opposed to walking in darkness. Amen. Walking, from the Greek perspective, simply carries the connotation of conducting oneself. Somebody said conducting oneself. Or it means to deport oneself. Deport means conduct. Somebody say amen. So walk as it relates to the Greek perspective, or from the Greek culture which the New Testament was written in, has to do with how a person conduct themselves. Somebody say amen. Another word for the term walk or walking is living or lifestyle. Somebody say living or lifestyle. Amen. So as it relates to the way that the Christian lives, as it relates to the way that the believer lives, God designs for us or desires for us, or he wants us to walk in light opposed to walking in darkness. Amen. Now, Pastor, if you want us to really grasp what you're talking about, you got to give us an understanding of what light is and what darkness is. Somebody say amen. Light in the New Testament carries many different symbolisms, if you will, or light in the New Testament represents several things. Amen. The Greek word phos, light, means illumination. Somebody say illumination. So when we're walking in light, it simply means that we're walking in the understanding of God. Amen. Or we're understanding what God's will is for our lives. Amen. It simply means that we've been illuminated. Amen. We've received understanding from God, and God says in his word that in all our getting, we are to get understanding. Amen. Light number two represents or carries the connotation of truth. Somebody say truth. Somebody say truth. Jesus, in his conversation with the Father, in his prayer to God, said in John chapter 17, verse 17, thy word is truth. Somebody say truth. What he was simply saying is, Father, your word is established. Your word is reliable. Your word is faithful or trustworthy. Glory to God. We can simply count on what you say. Amen. So light in the New Testament, number two, represents truth. Somebody say truth. Jesus says it's truth that sets us free, or it's truth that liberates us from the lies that we live in occasionally, or even for some of us from day to day. Somebody say amen. So number two, light represents truth. Number three, light in the New Testament represents that which is good. Somebody say good. Somebody say God is good. All the time. Somebody say amen. And all the time God is good. He's good. He never changes who he is. Amen. There's no variableness or shadow of changing his goodness, if you will. Amen. The scripture declares in James chapter 1 verse 17 that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness or shadow of changing. Amen. So truth from the New Testament represents good, or that which is good. Amen. The word light in the New Testament also represents that which is pure, or purity. Somebody say purity. Purity denotes a absence or an absence of sin. Somebody say amen. Now I need to make this very clear. In our position with God, in our righteous standing with God, in our justification with God, we are sin-free. We are sinless. When God looks at us, he sees blood-bought, born-again children of God. Amen. And if he did have any troubles with seeing us that way, all he has to do is look on the right side of himself and see his son Jesus, who sacrificed his life for our liberty or for our sin. Amen. So light represents purity. Say purity, or an absence of sin. So in our position, we are sinless. Somebody say sinless. But in our condition, somebody say condition, or in our humanity, or in our humane state, we sometimes commit sin, even practice sin. Amen. So when we look at the word light from the New Testament perspective, another meaning for the word light, or another symbolism for the word light, is purity. Somebody say amen. Number five, the word light in the New Testament also represents holiness. Somebody say holiness. Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 16, that we're to be holy as God is holy. Somebody say is holy. So in essence, God wants us to look like him in our character, in our actions, in our moral stance, if you will, amen. God is holy. Say, he's holy. He can't be nothing else but holy, amen. He cannot be immoral. He's only holy, and his desire for his children is that we look like him in our living, in our walk, as we walk in the earth realm. Amen. So light, somebody say light. Light represents understanding. Somebody say amen. Spiritual understanding, if you will. Amen. Light number two represents, glory to God, truth. Somebody say truth. Light number three represents that which is good. Amen. Light number four represents that which is pure. And light number five represents holiness, or that which is holy. Amen. As a matter of fact, the scripture says in 1 John chapter 1, verse number 5, that God is light. So when we're dealing with God, we're dealing with light. Somebody say light, and everything that lights represent. And then the scripture goes on to say, in him there is no darkness. And I like to say it like this, at all, amen. There's no darkness in God. He's pure light, if you will, amen. So we see what light, or we've explained or explained to you what light represents in the New Testament. Now we need to move to what darkness represents in the New Testament so that we can be on the same page as it relates to darkness. Somebody say amen. Number one, darkness represents everything that opposes light. Darkness represents everything that opposes light. Somebody say amen. Everything God is, darkness opposes it. Opposes it. Amen. Somebody say amen. So number one, as it relates to darkness, darkness is opposition to light. Somebody say amen. Number two, darkness in the New Testament represents that which is evil. Darkness never represents anything good. Darkness always represents evil. That is, it represents Satan and his emissaries, etc. Somebody say amen. Number three, in the New Testament, the term darkness represents sin or that which is morally wrong. Amen. When we operate in sin or when we practice sin, we're doing that which is morally wrong in the sight of God. Amen. Thank God he forgave us for the sins that we commit against him. But again, I tell you, we have to work on the sins that we commit against one another. Amen. We ought to get to a place where we sin less against one another. Somebody say amen. Why? Because sin hurts. Although it feels good, it hurts us. Amen. And it also hurts those who we are in relationship with. Or it could hurt just the common old Joe that we run into. Somebody say amen. So sin, glory to God, is evil. Sin is hurtful. Darkness represents sin in the New Testament. Somebody say amen. Or that which is morally wrong. Amen. Number four, in the New Testament, the term darkness represents sinful acts or a sinful lifestyle. Somebody say amen. You can commit a sin or you can live in sin. Somebody say amen. Darkness represents them both. Amen. And lastly, the term darkness in the New Testament represents anything that opposes light and that is opposite of light, which I've already expressed to you in the first representation of darkness in the Old Testament. Somebody say amen. So, Pastor, why do we have to go through all that? We need to have a foundation as it relates to what light represents in the New Testament, and we need to have a foundation as it relates to what darkness represents in the New Testament. Somebody say amen. When you read the New Testament, you for sure are going to run up on two words, light and darkness, amen. And we need to understand what both of them represent. Somebody say amen. So we got us a good understanding of what light represents. We got us a good understanding what darkness represents. Now we need to understand what God's will for the believer is as it relates to light. What is God's will as it relates to light for the believer? That's a good question. Somebody say amen. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. What do God want me to do as it relates to light? Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 8. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 8. So the God kind of life consists of us walking in light, opposed to us walking in darkness. Amen. Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, Holy Spirit is speaking to us this morning, for we were all once darkness. We were all once possessed by the power of darkness. Amen. Now, when I first read that this week, I had a problem with that statement that Paul made because I understand predestination. Somebody say predestination. Even though we are predestined, or we are predestinated, or we are predestined by God for salvation, there has to be a call out of darkness in order for us, that call is by God, that call is through the gospel, in order for us to come out of darkness and enter into the realm of light. Somebody say amen. So as it relates to predestination, even though we are predestined, there has to be a call for us to come out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Does that make sense to you? So even though we're predestined, the call has to be extended, and we have to accept the call, if you will. Somebody say amen. Paul said, for you were once darkness, but now you are what? Light. How? In the Lord. Amen. So in the Lord, you are light. In the Lord, we are light. Amen. We are good. We are all those things that God represents, or that light represents in the New Testament, even though we get off track. Amen. So in him, we're good. Amen. We're never darkness in the Lord. Amen. We've graduated. We've been translated. We've been snatched out, if you will, from darkness into the marvelous light. Somebody might ask the question, well, Pastor, if I am good, why do I do bad things? If I am good, Pastor, why do I think bad things? All of that is because we still live in a flesh body. The flesh desires what it desires. I said I wasn't going to use this terminology anymore, but I'm backing off of that statement. The sinful nature desires what it desires. And because we live in the sinful body, let me just go ahead and throw this out. I was going to wait to do that later. Okay, I'll wait and do it later. Holy Ghost said, wait and do it later. Somebody say amen. Because we live in a sinful body, we crave sinful things. Amen. Because we live in the earth realm, we crave that which we see in the earth realm. Somebody say amen. Amen. So he says, you were once darkness, but now you are light. Where? In the Lord. Here's his desire for us. His desire for us is to walk as children of light. We are to live like we are children of light. We ought to conduct ourselves as though we are children of light. Somebody say amen. Or somebody say, well, Pastor, how do I get there? It's progressive, if you will. Say progressive. As you learn more light, you walk in more light. Somebody say amen. And there's an added benefit to walking in light we'll see in just a minute, amen. So as children of light, God desires us to practice the lifestyle of light, if you will. Does that make sense to you? 1 John chapter 1, verse number 7. 1 John 1, 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is the light, somebody say the light, we have fellowship with one another, which means that if you're walking in the light and I'm walking in the light, guess what? We're fellowshipping. Somebody say fellowshipping. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from what? All sin. Somebody say all sin. So if we just practice walking in the light, if we'll just walk in the light, there's a benefit to walking in the light. God, the Father, cleanses us of all sin. Somebody say amen. So God's will for the believer, yes, sir, as it relates to light, is that we walk in the light. Walk in the light. Somebody say walk in the light. Amen. That's God's will for us as children of light. What is his will for us as believers as it relates to darkness? Somebody said relate to darkness. Three things real quickly. Well, maybe not so quickly. Three things. Number one, God's will is for us to cast off the works of darkness. Cast off. Somebody say cast off. it's just like taking off some clothes, taking off some shoes, amen. We ought to cast off those works. Somebody say amen. Or we are to stop operating in the works of darkness, amen. Again, that's progressive. It's a process. As we learn more light, we should walk out of more darkness. Somebody say amen. So number one, glory to God. God's will for the believer as it relates to darkness, it is for us to cast off darkness. Somebody say amen. Everything that darkness represents, God's will is for us to cast it off. Somebody say amen. Number two, God's will is for us to not have fellowship with the works of darkness. Three words that describe fellowship from the Greek perspective. One is partnership. Somebody say partnership. God's will is for us not to hook up with darkness. Dark acts, dark deeds, if you will. Somebody say amen. Number two, the word fellowship from the Greek perspective has to do with participation. Somebody say participation. Participation has to do with you or we connecting ourselves with something and doing the same thing that that thing is doing. Amen. So he says we're not to have any participation with the works of darkness. And three, the word fellowship from the Greek has to do with communication. Say communication. Think about communication, you think about talking darkness. Talking with darkness, amen. And again, partaking of darkness, amen. And lastly, number three, God's will for the believer in Christ as it relates to darkness is that we expose it. Bring it to light. Somebody say bring it to light. Another word for expose is reprove. Somebody say reprove. Reprove carries the connotation of one, strongly disapproving, and two, correcting. Somebody said correcting. So if we find ourselves walking in light as truth or illumination takes over in our minds, we need to correct that dark behavior, if you will. Somebody say amen. Let's prove all three of them. Romans chapter 13, verse number 4. Verse number 14. The scripture writes, but what? Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. All he consists of, all that we can do as it relates to putting on him, the Bible says put on him. Somebody say amen. Did I say 13, 14? I don't think this was a 13, 12. That wouldn't work too, but let's go to 12. It makes the point. Romans 13, 12. Or back that thing up. Amen, amen. He said, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Time is moving on. Somebody say, time is moving on. He says, therefore, for the believer, let us cast off the works of darkness. Say, cast them off. Stop doing them. Amen. As we grow in grace and in the knowledge of God, we ought to walk out of darkness. We ought to cast off darkness. Somebody say amen. And he said, let us put on what? The armor of light. Somebody say amen. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 11. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11 says, and have no what? Fellowship. With what? The unfruitful works of darkness. God don't want us to have fellowship with darkness. Say darkness. But rather do what? Expose them. I know how Christians think. The first thing we think of when we see expose them, we think about exposing stuff in other folks' lives. Start with you. Start with me. You get it right, then you provide some light for somebody else to see and they can get it right. Somebody say amen. So we're not to have fellowship, nor are we to, and we are to cast off the works of darkness. Amen. So now you got God's will for us as it relates to light. And then we have God's will for us as it relates to darkness. Amen. We walk in light, we put off darkness. Somebody say amen. Well, here's a good question. Pastor, can a believer in Christ be in darkness? can a believer in Christ be in darkness? The scripture talks about being in darkness. And the answer to that question is no. A believer in Christ cannot be in darkness no more than we can be in the flesh. Somebody say amen. We sound religious sometimes, but our religion ought to be theologically sound, amen. A believer cannot be in darkness. Now, we might lack understanding in some area, but as it relates to spiritual darkness, totally not. Okay, let's just put it this way. As it relates to being possessed by evil or being possessed by darkness, there is no way that a Christian can be in darkness. Somebody say in darkness. Somebody might ask the question, well, why? Because the Bible says we've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Somebody say amen. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 13. So somebody tell you, you're in darkness. No, I'm not in darkness, even though I might lack understanding in some areas. I'm in light because I'm in Christ, or I am in God through Christ Jesus. Somebody say amen. Verse number 13 says, he has, somebody say he, God has delivered us from the power of darkness. Somebody say power of darkness. Which simply means, again, that darkness at one point possessed the believer. We were under total control of Satan, amen. Somebody say amen. Somebody say, I don't believe that, Pastor. Well, you need to read Ephesians chapter 2 when you get time, amen. We were under total control of Satan outside of Jesus Christ. But the Bible says in Christ we've been delivered from the power or the possession of darkness and conveyed into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Somebody say amen. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9, I believe it is. But you, the believer, we are a chosen generation. God chose us, amen. We are a royal priesthood. We are a priesthood of believers, amen. A holy nation. We are a nation set aside unto God, amen. His own special people. We belong to him. Somebody say amen. That you, we, me, may proclaim the praises of him who has what? Called us out of darkness into the marvelous light. Somebody say amen. So the believer cannot be in darkness, even though we, glory to God, sometime practice darkness. Amen. Romans chapter 8, I made a statement. Let me clear it up. Because, Pastor, we can't be in the flesh. I act carnal all the time, a lot of times. Amen. Even though you act carnal, you cannot be in the flesh. Somebody say amen. Romans chapter 8, verse number 9. Well, Pastor, why are you spending time teaching us knowledge? Because the scripture says we have to grow in grace and in the knowledge of God. Amen. And a part of our walking, or part of us living a God kind of life, is growing in the knowledge of God. Somebody say, it's all right to shout. Somebody say, let's shout some. It's all right to shout, but when you get through shouting, we need to know some things, amen. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. The Bible says in verse number 9 of the book of Romans, chapter 8, but you are not in the flesh, talking to believers, but in the spirit, if indeed the spirit of God dwells in you, amen. So if the Spirit of God dwells in you and the Spirit of God does dwell in every believer, you cannot be in the flesh. In the flesh is another way of saying being in darkness, amen. It has to do with being unsaved, not born again, not redeemed. Somebody say amen. So the believer cannot be in darkness no more than the believer can be in the flesh. Somebody say amen. Here's another good question. Can a believer practice darkness? The answer to that question is yes. Somebody say amen. You can literally be a habitual practicer of sin, if you will, amen, and still be a believer. Pastor, that individual is going to hell. No, I keep trying to teach you this, and sometimes we revert back to some of our old teaching. Sin don't send us to hell. Somebody say amen. Sin doesn't send us to hell. The sin of rejecting Jesus Christ or rejecting Jesus Christ will get you in hell pretty quick, amen. But in Christ Jesus, sin doesn't send us to hell, amen. Now sin blurs our witness, if you will, amen. You can't. Jesus says that ye are the light of the world, amen. If you're practicing sin, it's just amazing to me. You can be doing 300 good things, but you get over into one bad thing, that is what people normally see. So sin can blur our witness, if you will. Somebody say amen. So can the believer practice sin? Yes, the believer can, and yes, the believer does. Glory to God. This is why the New Testament apostles are speaking to us about casting off darkness and walking in light and not walking in darkness, because the believer can practice sin. Somebody say amen. This is going to be some enlightenment to all of us, because all of us think we're super good. Somebody say super good. We'll get back in and run into this. Somebody say, man. I need to help us understand today that all of us, I don't care how saved you are, how long you've been saved, all of us have a dark side. All of us do. And that dark side is called the sinful nature. All of us. You be doing good 1 minute, and the next thing you know, you're raising hell. I mean, saying some hellacious, or have some type of hellish action right after you get through doing good. Somebody know about that, don't you? It's because we've got a dark side. My wife and I were having perfect fellowship yesterday. Perfect fellowship, getting along good with one another. And the next thing you know up jumped the devil, but up jumped the flesh, amen. And that good fellowship was hindered for a while, amen. So we had to go through the ritual of, I'm sorry, forgive me, and all those kind of things so that the fellowship could be reconnected like we like the fellowship. Somebody say amen. So all of us have a dark side. Somebody say dark side. Let's go to Romans chapter 7, verse number 18. Focus on you. Not on somebody else, amen. Somebody say amen. We're quick to do this, but you need to always remember you got three of them pointing back at you, amen. Somebody say amen, amen. Listen to what Paul says, and I love this. It took me a long time to understand this because I thought I was supposed to do everything right because I was saved. But I learned quickly that I didn't do everything right. Somebody say amen. It's because there's a dark side. Paul says, did I say 18? What does 17 say? No, stay right there. He says, for I know that in me, and then he clarifies what he means, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. Amen. Give me that in New Living Translation. He says, New Living Translation, and I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, clarification, in my sinful nature. Now, if he would have said that nothing good dwells in me, I would have had a problem with Paul's statement, because I know the great Holy Spirit lives on the inside of me, amen. But he clarifies to us that he's talking about the dark side. Somebody say the dark side. The sinful nature. He goes on to say, I want to do what is right, but I can't do it, amen. Why? Because of the dark side, amen. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. How, even though we have a dark side, and in one of my favorite passages of Scripture, because it helps me to understand what the dark side produces, Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. Don't go there. We get a list of what the dark side produces, if you will. Somebody say amen. Even though we have a dark side, I need to help us understand that the dark side of us can be managed. Somebody say managed. It can't be completely, that didn't make enough noise, completely stamped out, somebody say amen, because we live in a flesh body. But it can be managed. Somebody say amen. It can be supervised. It can be put up under subjection. Somebody say amen. Romans chapter 8, verse number 13. It says, for if you live by the dictates of the flesh, or what the sinful nature dictates for you to do or us to do, you will what? Die. Somebody said die. I believe die carries two connotations there. There's physical death that can come out of following the flesh. Somebody say amen. And then there is separation from the will of God that comes out of following the flesh, amen. Most of us know by now how the flesh look, amen. Amen. Some of us are like raving maniacs Christian folks. It's called the outburst of wrath. Some of us are like raving maniacs when we get mad. We kick over stuff, we knock stuff down, we cuss folks out, we slap folks around. When the flesh rises up, because we had learned to manage that thing. Somebody said manage it. So I can manage my flesh. I can manage my sinful nature. He said, for if you live by the dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit, you put to death the deeds. Somebody said the deeds. Of your sinful nature, you will live, or you will experience the God kind of life. Somebody say amen. So through following the lead of the Spirit, I keep getting these lines mixed up. I'm about to walk out of mine. Somebody see me here. Through following the lead of the Holy Spirit, we can put the flesh to death. Somebody say amen. When the deeds get ready to come up, if you would just listen to the Spirit on the inside of you, or in my case, follow the unction of the Holy Spirit, you will get a chance not to step over in the realm of sinful fleshly deeds, if you will. Does that make sense? Now, the Bible also teaches us that we can stop the desire before it gets to the act. Somebody say amen. Is this happening to anybody? If you're like me, I don't like being fleshly. I just don't like being fleshly, amen. I don't even consider witness and all that. I just don't like being fleshly because I know God has a better will for me, if you will, amen. I'm just talking about me. Some of us think this way. I might as well just get it on out and get it off me and move forward. But sometimes when we get it off us, we put it on somebody else. Does that make sense? I remember we used to say, if I think about it, I might as well say it. No, that's sort of foolish, if you will. Somebody say amen. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 16. And I'm running to a close. Now, this is from the spiritual perspective. There's a spiritual perspective as it relates to managing the sinful nature. And then there's a natural perspective. Some of us have to do natural before we get to spiritual. And I'll tell you about the natural in just a minute. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 16. And I think I might read 17 too. It says, Paul says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit do what? Guide your lives. What did that teach us? That the Holy Spirit will what? Guide our lives. But what does it also teach us? We have to let him. He ain't gonna force us to do nothing. He's going to make himself available so that I can follow his lead or his guidance, but we have to let him. That sometimes blows my mind. For as powerful as God is, we have to let him do something. Amen. He created us with free will. So that's why Jesus, you know, Jesus was in the garden, you know, getting ready to die, a sweat popping off him like blood. He said, Lord, remove this bitter cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will. I want to walk from up under this cross. But your will be done, amen. He said, nevertheless, the less would be his will, the greater would be God's will, not my will, but your will be done. Somebody say amen. So we have to let his will. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He says, I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be what? Doing what your sinful nature craves. What do we take away from that? The sinful nature have cravings. Just like you might crave a hot dog, the sinful nature crave to do something sinful, amen. And if you give in, or if we give in to the craving, we then get over into walking in darkness, if you will. Or at least doing a dark act. Somebody say amen. Verse number 17. Verse 17, please. The sinful nature wants to do what? Never wants to do good. Never wants to do good. Somebody say amen. Which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. The Spirit wants to walk in light. The flesh, the sinful nature, wants to walk in darkness. Amen. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly, not sometimes, but constantly fighting each other. Amen. And you would think that the Holy Spirit is going to win every time. Amen. Not so. Amen. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. Amen. So they're in opposition. They're adversarial to one another, so that I will not be free to carry out my good intentions, your good intentions. Somebody say amen. So there's a spiritual way that we can put the flesh under subjection, or we can manage our sinful nature. And then that's a natural way. There's a natural way. Somebody say natural way. Tell us what the natural way is, Pastor. I will. Sometimes vices have us so tightly gripped that we can't get to the spiritual because the vice have us so tightly gripped, amen. And sometimes in the natural, we have to seek professional help to get a release. I see a lot of head nods in here, the folks who are in there. Some of us have gone through that to get a release from the darkness that has a hold on us, amen. Once you can get a release from that darkness that have a hold on you, then you might be able to see spiritually, amen, and manage the flesh, if you will, amen. So it's God's desire for us as believers to walk in light opposed to walking in darkness. Somebody say amen. Again, it's a process. Say a process. Again, it's progressive. Somebody say progressive. It's just like all the other part of the maturation, of the spiritual maturation process. It takes time, amen. Don't get frustrated with yourself. Don't condemn yourselves because we might get over on the wrong side, amen. See, put light on it, and then come out. Somebody say come out. Well, Pastor, what happens if I fall back in? See, put light on it, come out of it. Somebody say amen. What if I keep doing it? See, put light on it, and come out of it. You're creating a new practice. Say a new practice. I'm creating the practice of coming out of it, amen. At some point, that practice will become habitual, amen, and you will be automatically walking in light opposed to walking in darkness. Somebody say amen. Well, I hope that this word has been a blessing to you. I hope that you've learned something from this word that could carry you, that will carry you in your spiritual walk with the Lord. Thank you for listening. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, you're so good. Is that what you want me to do, Lord? Your mercy endured forever. Your truth endured to all generations. Father God, we thank you that we've heard truth, liberating truth, that can set us free if we apply the truth, glory to God. Lord, we honor you for the truth that's been expressed to us this morning by way of your word. In Jesus' name, we do pray and give thanks. Amen. And thank you, Lord. Perhaps there's someone today who is listening that don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life. And I hear the Holy Spirit asking me, I'm not really sure what the Holy Spirit is saying. But if you're that person who might be listening, that's a tall statement from a pastor, isn't it? Sometimes we don't know. Somebody say, we don't know. But if you're that person that's listening and you need Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, you can invite him in right now. Or in your own private time, you can invite him into your life. Just simply ask him to come into your heart, to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to be your Savior, and to be your Lord. Amen. And after you've invited him in, thank him for coming in. Thank him for forgiving you of your sins. Thank you for him connecting himself with you by way of being your Savior and by way of being your Lord. Amen. Here again, you can do that now or later, but don't let this life pass you by without you inviting the Savior into your life if you are in need of his saving grace. Somebody say amen. Number two, if you're listening today and you want to sow seed into this ministry, there are several avenues that you can use to sow seed into this ministry. You're not obligated to sow seed because you don't have to pay for the word, amen. But if the word has blessed you in some type of way and you want to sow seed into that word that's been proclaimed in your hearing, you can do so by following the instructions in the comment section on whatever social media platform you might be listening to us or viewing us from. Amen. And then the third thing I want to leave you with today is that our children's church ministry is waiting on our children so that they can minister to them at their point of need. Amen. We do children's church virtually by way of Zoom. Somebody say amen. And that children's church ministry starts at 11:30 a.m. Amen. The way you access Zoom is by using the meeting ID 832-3475-6582. Again, that's 832-3475-6582. And the password that you need to use to access this site is 680-632. Again, that's 680-632. Amen. Well, that's all I have for today. I want to say that I've enjoyed you. Amen. And I hope that you've been blessed by viewing the broadcast this morning. Have a wonderful week. To the believer, walk by faith and not by sight. I love you. God bless you. See you next week, same time, same stations. Amen.